Luke 13, verse number 10. A woman who's healed on the Sabbath day. Luke 13 and 10, it says, and he, talking about Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together or bent over, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall, and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray over the word together. Father, we give you praise and thanks right now for the word that we have just read into the hearing of your people. And Father God, we are praying now that you will speak this word unto us, O God. That Father, you will open our eyes and cause us to see. And Father, that you will anoint our ears, that we may hear your still small voice speaking unto us the words of life. Father God, we come now, God, and like Mary, we just come to sit at your feet, O God, that we may hear the word of God going forward, that we may be strengthened in our spirit, that we may come away with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and most of all, God, that we may be drawn closer to you and know you better. Father, we thank you right now for this time of impartation. We thank you, God, for revelation from on high.
Yes.
And we give you the praise for transforming our life by renewing our mind through the word of God. To you we give the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Renewed minds, amen. Our title today is, If Not Now, Then When? Amen. If not now, then when? This passage of scripture has so much in it, and we're not going to touch on a lot of it. But it does form a foundation for what God wants to say to us today. And if we would jump to the heart of the matter, it really is this. God desires for us being his people, and in truth, in fact, amen, for the world. Because again, God so loved the world that he gave his son. And it's God's desire that man, and especially his people who are now called by his name, are free from bondage in whatever form. And he desires for that freedom to take place right now. Amen. God wants us free. He wants us free from the bondage of sin. He wants us free from the bondage of Satan. He wants us free from the bondage of guilt and shame of our past. He wants us free from anything that would hold us back from walking in our purpose in him, walking in the plan that he has for our lives, and being who he called us to be, and doing what he called us to do in this earth. God wants us free, and he wants us free now.
Jesus.
Amen. The problem is, though, that there are many people, and sometimes we are in that number, mm-hmm. who put off freedom for ourselves and for other people.
Yes.
The problem is that there are people like the Pharisees in this story that we just saw who believe there's a certain time to be free. This woman was walking around with an infirmity for 18 years. 18 years. She was bowed over, bent down, looking at nothing but the ground. How many of you know there are so many people like that who can relate? Maybe not physically bent over, but they are bent over in their spirit.
Yes.
They are dejected. They are downcast. They are depressed. Amen. Because life has dealt them a cruel hand.
Yes.
And there are a lot of people who are walking around that way. And in this particular case, this woman is walking around this way for 18 years. And it happens to be the Sabbath day. And Jesus saw her. And when he saw her, he called her. And when he called her, he spoke to her. And he told her, "Woman, you're loose from this thing today." And then after speaking these words, he laid hands on her, the scripture says. And immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God, because healing brings glory to God. And so she immediately began to glorify God. But there were some people who were around, church folk, church leaders, ruler of the synagogue, who looked at what happened and said, "You shouldn't have done that, Jesus, today." There are 6 days in which to get healed. Heal on that day, but you shouldn't be healed today. In other words, you shouldn't get your healing, woman, who've been struggling for 18 years. You shouldn't get your healing now. You should get it at another time. And God is saying, if not now, when? Because God wants to do things now, and there are too many people, including his own, who will put him off till later what God wants to do now. Amen. There are some things God wants to do now, and there are people around us who want to put it off later. And if we're not careful, we may be looking to put off stuff that God wants to do in us individually until later.
Wow.
How many of us have said, amen, that I will do such and such a thing when? I will do another such and such a thing then. But some of those things that you've been putting off are things that God spoke into your spirit. And yes, there's a timing, and maybe the timing could be later, but don't presume it's later.
Amen.
There could be some things that God wants you to do now. Even if it seems as if this is not the right time. Because isn't that what the ruler of the synagogue was saying? This is not the right time for healing.
Yes.
He didn't have a problem with healing. He had a problem with timing. This is not the time. But Jesus called him a hypocrite. Why did Jesus call him a hypocrite? He said, because on Sabbath day, you take your animals out to get water. You take care of your animals on the Sabbath day. In another setting, he said, if one of your animals fell into a ditch on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you go and get some men and pull them out? Right? So he called them hypocrites. He said, because you treat your animals, you do things for your animals on Sabbath day, and yet you're getting upset with me because I healed this poor woman on the Sabbath day. You're a hypocrite for that. How many of you know that church folk can be hypocrites?
Yes.
I know that you're saved, sanctified, full with the Holy Ghost, and that with a mighty burning fire, but you still can be a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we can be hypocrites too. The key for us is we want to be consistent, but the consistency comes with just saying this, you know, not my will, but your will.
Jesus.
Right? Because God is consistent, right? Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. So we do things the way God wants to do it. You will never have to be concerned whether or not you're being hypocritical. Amen. Oh, but when you start bringing some rules into the game, when you start putting some stuff on top of the word, when you start bringing in your legalism and your tradition,
yes.
Jesus said that the leaders made the word of God of no effect because of their tradition. So when you start bringing in some other stuff that God never said, that's the spirit of Satan. See, because Satan comes in, did God really say it? Listen, if God said it, that's what you say. If he didn't say it, then you don't say it. And so they're mad because the ruler is saying you shouldn't heal today. But God is saying, if not now, when? And here's the built-in hypocrisy of the ruler of the synagogue. Listen what the story points out. The woman was bowed over for 18 years. If they were so concerned about the timing of her healing, why didn't they heal her in the power of God long before this day?
Amen.
They saw this woman for 18 years. She had to be in their midst. And there was no compassion, no love, no mercy that said to them, Lord, heal this woman, please. So here she was walking around them for 18 years in this terrible condition, and they didn't care. And now Jesus sees her, calls her, speaks to her, lays hands on her, heals her, and they're mad because he didn't do it at the right time. And yet they had 18 years in which to do it and did nothing. That's why they're hypocrites. Amen. And it's not only that, that they treat their animals better, but they cared nothing about this woman.
Wow.
Cared nothing about her. But they said, listen, you need to come back at another time. You need to come. Jesus wanted to work on her now, heal her now, deliver her now, change her life now. And they wanted to put it off. And Jesus said, that you have the spirit of a hypocrite. Because if God wants to do something now, God forbid any of us say, do it later.
Amen.
But now it brings the question, what is God looking to do in your life now that you've been putting off to later? What is it that God wants to do in the lives of people in your life and people around you that you just want to put off to later? What things do we look at like these leaders and we get so comfortable with? They were comfortable with this woman being bowed over for 18 years, so much so they did nothing to help her. What things are we comfortable with? This woman was in bondage. Do you see what Jesus said in verse 16? He made it plain. God didn't put this on this woman. Because God's not the author of sickness. He made it plain. This woman, he said, ought not she, being a daughter of Abraham, be loosed? But he said, listen, he said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Satan bound her in this condition. Her sickness was from the devil. Her depression was from the devil. Her deformity was from the devil. Her despair was from the devil. How many of you know the devil wants to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's active all around us. But he puts people in bondage. He puts people in the bondage of fear. There's some people who are so gripped by fear that they're in bondage today. He throws guilt on certain people. They're in bondage to guilt. He throws the past. Remember what you did? And he keeps throwing it at you. Keeps throwing it at you. And so that you can be trapped by your past.
Yeah.
He has other people trapped in unforgiveness. He has others trapped in anger. Remember what Paul said? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yes.
Right? He said, because you will give Satan a foothold. And Satan has, he has people in bondage to anger. He has some people in bondage to lust and to sexual promiscuity. He has others in bondage to drug abuse and all kinds of addiction. Yes. Satan just wants to bind up folk.
Yes.
But Jesus said, amen, Jesus comes to make people free. And so here, Satan had bound this woman for 18 years. And the church leader and the church folk could care less. All they cared about, what they cared about more was, don't do anything for her on the Sabbath day. They were concerned about the rules. They weren't concerned about this woman's life. They weren't concerned that she was in bondage. A couple weeks ago, amen, we went to the museum in Washington, right? It's the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And we saw the slave, you know, we saw the history, you know, the exhibits that dealt with the history of slavery. And it wasn't just me. You could feel it as, you know, you're among other people, as you're reading these things and you're seeing shackles and you're seeing, you know, all these accounts of the, you know, the slave blocks where, you know, human beings were sold as pieces of property. And you look at this stuff and you look at it and you could feel that there was like a little bit of tension in the room. Because, you know, all these African Americans are there and others, amen. There were other people there too. But you could feel it like, you know, you're, this is not right. Mm-hmm. Angry, right? Because these, you know, because human beings shouldn't be treated that way. Saw a movie years ago, 12 Years a Slave. Man who was free, who then was tricked into slavery and remained a slave for 12 years before he got his freedom again. And you looked at that and you go, look at this. This is not right. And something wells up on the inside of you that makes you kind of agitated.
Yes.
And yesterday, Sister Fennell and I, we went to the movies. And we saw a Birth of a Nation. And that turned to rebellion. But we saw again the depiction of slavery, and it just makes you agitated. And you come back, you look at all these things, and when you see pictures, and you see accounts, and you see movies, and you go to museums, and you see all these things about how people were treated, and they were in bondage and in slavery, and it just makes you mad, and you just say, this is not right! But there's something hypocritical about that. Because here we are living where people are in all kinds of spiritual bondage and we shrug our shoulders at it.
Amen.
That's not right. How can we be upset at historical slavery and bondage but shrug our shoulders when people today are in bondage? We're no better than the synagogue ruler. Come on, somebody. People are in all kinds of bondage now that Jesus came to free them from. And we shrug our shoulders and say they need to get themselves together. Mm-hmm. Or we just keep on going about our lives. Mm-hmm. How can you not be torn apart anytime you go into a major city and see someone not in their right mind mumbling and fumbling through garbage cans looking for food? You know this is not the will of God.
Amen.
People on corner after street corner with signs talking about how they're homeless and how they're sick and how their life is going apart. Sometimes husband and wives on the corner together. Sometimes mothers with their children on the corner, and we're so busy rushing to go get our $6 coffee from Starbucks. How can we? But yet we get mad at the movie.
Wow.
And so we need to look at this and understand where God is coming. God wants to heal people now. And he doesn't want people in bondage anymore today than back then. When Jesus came and said, I don't care what day of the week it is, I'm healing this woman. Those who weren't in line with what God was trying to do with the earth, in the earth, had a problem with it. But God wants to do things now. And we should be as upset with people who are in spiritual bondage. And we should be upset when Satan tries to throw his chains and his shackles on us. We should be more upset at that than we are at things that happened centuries ago. I'm not trying to say that you be desensitized to those things, but I'm saying to you something is out of place when you're more concerned about what happened, but something that you can't do anything about when you're living now and can do something about in Jesus' name today. We need to be concerned about the now, because God is concerned about now and not putting things off. How many of us have loved ones who don't know the Lord?
Yeah.
How many of us have loved ones who, you know, have had some issues with addiction?
Yeah.
Why is it that Uncle James has been an alcoholic for 25 years? How come ever since you've known him, he's been drinking the sauce? How come? And how come we shrug our shoulders and say, that's Uncle James? How come no one's going on before the throne of grace to get Uncle James free from the bondage of alcoholism? How come? Come on, somebody, why? Why do we just look at it? Are we any different from these leaders who watched this woman for 18 years and shrugged their collective shoulders?
Wow.
Shouldn't Uncle James be free from... Shouldn't Aunt Mary be off the street? She always running the street ever since I known her. Well, what does that say about you?
Wow.
And I don't say that like you're responsible for her, but if you can look in the mirror and honestly say, I really haven't been praying for her.
Wow.
Something's wrong. I really haven't gone to God for her. Something's wrong, isn't it? When you know the God you serve has made you free from the law of sin and death and is no respecter of persons. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God wants to do some things now, and it's only those who are not in line with God's word who either are shrugging their shoulders or wanting to put it off until later. You know, in Mark chapter 3, it was on the Sabbath day, and there was a man who had a withered hand. And Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, you know, he first talked to those who were in the synagogue, and he said, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they didn't want to answer him. And the scripture said Jesus got angry with them because of their hardness of heart. And then he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. Now, the man's hand was withered. The idea of stretching it forth is like impossible, right? But he says, I'm stretching forth his hand. And the man, through the power and compassion and love of God, was able to stretch forth his hand and be healed. And then it says that the leaders of the synagogue from that day forward went unto the others and of the religious leaders, and they sought ways to destroy Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus was mad at them, though. Because you see this man who got trouble, and they're so concerned about the timing. Jesus wants to do things now. Jesus wants Uncle James healed now. Come on, amen. Jesus wants Aunt Mary off the streets now. Jesus wants to heal and to save and to deliver and make people free now. First John chapter 3. I just want to read this one verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, talking about Jesus. But it says this. It says, he that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, or revealed, or made known.
that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Jesus came into this earth to destroy the works of the devil.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. That's why he was revealed unto man. That's why he was made manifest.
Yes.
He was made manifest. He was revealed in this earth to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy, amen, the power of sin over man's life.
Yes.
To take away the results of sin, because the wages of sin is death. And Jesus came to destroy even the last enemy, which is death. He came to destroy the works of the devil. That's what he wants to do. So then, now you can understand why Jesus gets upset when he looks at people who are afflicted and who are in bondage, amen, and they are captured and ensnared by the devil's traps. And then he looks at his people who are too busy being religious and don't care about it. God forbid that be us, amen?
Amen.
God forbid that be us. Amen. That Jesus said, this is why I came. I came to get this homeless man off the street. I came to get your aunt off the street. I came, amen, to save these children from drugs and from gangs and from all this bondage. I came to these teenagers, man, with the goth and all this other stuff that they're doing. And we just shaking our head, oh, they're ashamed. It's more than a shame, and it's not them. It's the devil that is ensnaring them. That's the problem. And Jesus said, I came to destroy the works of the devil, and we as his people cannot have a collective shrug about the devil being busy at work. We need to be upset about it. Don't be upset at a movie and not be upset at real life. Acts chapter 10, it talks about Jesus and what he went around doing. Acts 10, verse number 38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. See, Jesus went around and he looked at the infirmities and the sicknesses and the diseases and all these things, and he looked at that and said, that's not the work of my Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's the work of the devil. And it bothered him and troubled him when he saw people who were called by God's name and who were claiming God as their God, who weren't concerned about those who were oppressed of the devil. And Jesus went around healing all that were oppressed. But he also said unto us, amen, through his word, he said, and the works I do, greater works will you do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what were some of the works that he did, right? The works that he went around healing people who were oppressed of the devil. Mm-hmm. Jesus himself declared in Luke 19 and 10, he said, I've come to seek and to save those that are lost.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, just lost. There's some people who are lost. They're lost. They're hurting. They're confused.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Because Satan has got them tricked and deceived, and they're bound. And Jesus wants them to be saved and made free. But he wants that to happen now.
Yes.
And to the extent that it's not happening now, we have to look at it and ourselves and say, how much of a role am I playing in that? And can I now do something differently, amen, that the power of God can be released in the earth, that even maybe one might be saved?
Yeah.
Do you know each one of us, and I'm talking about all of us in the body of Christ, if God were able to use us to touch another one and change their life, do you know how much of a difference that would make in the earth? No one's asking you to go out and save a whole community, a whole city, but do you know that through the power of God, you can touch one life today? And make a difference? That someone is not going to be in bondage anymore? When Jesus got up and preached his first sermon, when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he also said that he was anointed, amen, that he was anointed to preach unto the captives, to set at liberty those that were bruised, to set at liberty, to free them. God came to free man from the grips of Satan. Amen? And the work has already been done, and God wants to do some things now. Why? Because I'm telling you, you've seen what's going on in this world. This world has lost its mind. Satan is just having a field day doing all kinds of things, but he's still a liar. He's still a defeated foe. But we need to rise up in the power of God and stop putting off the things that God wants to do now until later. You know, God speaks in the words of now. We talked about it the other day with we were talking about faith in Hebrews 11:1, where it says, now faith is the substance of things. God says now, right? In the book of Isaiah, God said, he said, behold, I do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. He talks in terms of now. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And see, that's how God speaks. And people who follow God speak in the terms of now. Jesus. The angels came and spoke to the shepherds and said, I bring you great, you know, good tidings of joy, right? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And the song broke out, the angels broke out in song, and then the angels left. And the shepherds, if you go back and read it, the shepherds said, let us now go and see this thing. They didn't say, let us go in the morning. They didn't say, let us go later. They said, let us now go and see this thing which God has spoken unto us. See, so God wants to do things now, and people who truly want to follow God operate in the now. Right? It's not good enough that boy gets himself together eventually. Somebody needs to be praying and interceding on his behalf right now. Amen? It's not good enough. We need to have an urgency about this thing. So that God can move in the earth and change and transform other people's lives. But it's not just about other people. It's about you and me too. It's time out for us to be putting off our own deliverance. You know the stuff you're captive to.
Amen.
You know. You know the things you do. You know the things you say. You know the things you think. You know those other things that nobody else knows. But you know. You know those things. You know the fears you have.
Yes.
You know the insecurities you walk around with. You know how much certain things in your past are weighing you down?
Yeah.
We all have them. We all have them. And in some ways, they're keeping us. We're in bondage. They're keeping us back from doing and being all that God created us to be.
Amen.
You know, some of us have grown comfortable with some of the things that are holding us back from God's purpose being revealed in our lives. Well, when I learn more word, when I do this, when I do that. No, now. If not now, when? When are we going to be delivered? When are we finally going to break free from the shackles that Satan has put on us? When are we going to break free from our past and from guilt and from shame and from fear of rejection and fear of this thing and fear of that thing? When are we going to? If not now, then when? It's now that even within us we have to rise up and be angry with the stuff that's holding us back
The same way we're angry at slavery from years ago. There's modern day slavery right now, and some of us are modern day slaves.
Yes.
Jesus said it. Paul said, I got to speak to you as a man. He said, whoever you obey, you are the servant to whom you obey. They gamble in that church, and now they're calling people slaves.
Lord Jesus.
The Bible said we're slaves to whomever we obey.
Yeah.
We can be slaves unto righteousness, or we can be slaves unto unrighteousness. Right?
Yeah.
We follow the dictates of our flesh. Guess what? You're a slave of the flesh. Mm-hmm. Right? Got you in bondage. There are so many people who don't want to smoke, but are smoking. Why? Because their body says, I want a cigarette.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's that simple. Their body says, I want a cigarette. They say yes to that. Wow. I'm going to quit smoking, though. I'm going to stop eating all these fried foods. Yeah, I'm going to stop. If not now, when? Right? You know the stuff is killing you. You know the stuff is shortening your life. You know the stuff is stunting your growth. Whatever it may be. But sometimes complacency sets in and we just go, oh, but I'm all right. No, you're not all right.
Amen.
No form of bondage is all right.
Amen.
Not when Jesus came to set you free. Right? So we shouldn't even within ourselves, and even more so within ourselves, we should not take being held in bondage in any respect. Mm-hmm. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And as God, through Jesus Christ, made you free, and if He's made us free, then how dare Satan try to keep us ensnared in any respect?
Amen.
And how dare we put up with it?
Amen.
Excuse it, rationalize it, justify it on any level. The devil's a liar, amen?
Amen.
No, God through Christ wants us to be free, and if God wants that for me, if God wants that for you, if God wants that for us, then that's what we want to.
Amen.
And we accept no substitute. I'm not going to be mad at the movie if I'm going to be complacent and okay with real life. I got to be just as mad.
Amen.
And determined to get my freedom. I got to be just as determined for other people to get their freedom.
Yes.
But we got to want it now. And see, it's the voice of the devil that says, do it later. Right? That's why Jesus got mad at the ruler of the synagogue. Don't heal her today. Do it later. Jesus got mad at him.
That's right.
Amen? And see, if God wants to do something now, the voice of later is the voice of Satan. Uh-oh. If God wants to do something now, the voice that says later is the voice of Satan. How many of us have been ventriloquists for Satan?
Oh, gosh.
Hmm? Maybe we're not even the ventriloquist. Maybe we're the ventriloquist dummy. Because Satan, the one, got his hand up our back.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And he just standing there with his lip like this. And we're over there. The devil's a liar, amen.
Amen.
Get your hand out my back.
Amen.
I am not no dummy.
Amen.
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 I am a child of the living God. Jesus has been made unto me wisdom, righteousness,
amen,
sanctification,
amen,
and redemption. Get your hands off of me.
Jesus.
If God says now, I say now. The only way I say later is if God says later. But if God wants to do something now, then I say now. And if anybody else comes and says not now, then my question to them is, if not now, when? And if you don't have an answer for that, that is in line with God's word, get to step in if God wants to do the thing.
Now. Amen.
Now. There's some people, amen, who even, you know, and maybe you've experienced this in your own walk too. God brought you from something, and you've gone back to it. You remember the children of Israel? They got delivered from Egyptian bondage. And you know, Egypt is just, right? That's the type, amen, of the bondage that Satan wants to put people of God in, right? And Pharaoh is a type of Satan. And so the people of God were in bondage in Egypt. And God chose Moses, another type, amen, the deliverer of Christ, a type of Christ, chose Moses to do what? Go tell Pharaoh what? Let my people go. Right? And all those things were just a type of what was to come through Christ.
Yes.
He told them, let my people go. And how many of you know, there came a time after God had to show his strong arm to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh did let the people go. Mm-hmm. But see, Pharaoh, see, again, he's a type of for Satan. Pharaoh did what? After he let the people go, what did he do? He came after them again. Because we see even in the New Testament, once the devil leaves, gets kicked out of the house, he walks around, fine, and then he comes back. And it's one thing, though, for Satan to try to bring you back into bondage. He's doing his job. It's a whole nother thing for those who have been set free to want to go back. Do you know how many women have been delivered from a no-good joker and then get out there and get lonely and then go back to that no-good joker that God delivered them from? And they live to regret it?
Yep.
You know how many people God separated you from a job or from a neighborhood or from some buddies or whatever, but yet you wanted to go back to them?
Jesus.
Listen, when God makes you free, stay free. Amen.
Amen.
And resist with everything in you by the power of the Holy Ghost anything to try to bring you back. But when God has set the people of Israel free, there came a time when God sent the spies out, Moses sent the spies out, and they came back, 10 of them came back with that evil report about how big the giants were in the land, and the people got so upset, they started crying, and they started complaining, and then they said, in Numbers chapter 14, they said, we need to go back to Egypt. You remember that? They said, we should pick us a captain to lead us back to Egypt.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what kind of foolishness is that? You want to pick somebody to lead you back into bondage. But yet we see it happen all the time today. Come on, somebody. If God has delivered you from something, don't even think for a minute about going back.
Amen.
Not for one minute. And don't buy into the devil's lie that something was good back then. The good old days. Do you know the Bible actually says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 that people should not say and long for the good old days?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Mm-hmm.
In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, it says this. Do not say, why were the old days better than these? For it is not wise or because of wisdom that you ask this. Mm-hmm. Longing for the good old days, God says, is not wisdom. Uh-oh, time out, because my wife showed me a video yesterday where a certain political candidate, who I'm not going to name because it would not be fair to Donald Trump, is on the video talking and longing for good old days. I'm telling you, that is not God says, don't long for good old days. He said, that's not wisdom.
Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
To talk about good old days is not wisdom, God says. And so if something starts coming into your ear that gets you longing for some so-called good old days, understand that's coming from Satan. And he's trying to bring you back into bondage. Amen? The voice of Satan tells you, oh, it was so good back then. Remember when you were this? Remember when you used to hang with sister so-and-so? Remember when you used to date him? Remember when you used to date her? Remember when you used to work over there? Remember when you just, The God that we serve said, he talks like this. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a
future.
Ha! God's not talking about your past. He's talking about your future.
Amen.
So don't you ever look back talking about, I'm going back to Egypt. Don't. If God has delivered you, don't ever think about going back. On your own. Amen. There's one thing if God wants to send you somewhere, but I'm talking about you coming up with a plan on your own because somehow things got a little tight and a little tough and a little rough right now. God knows what he's doing in your life. Don't look. If he's freed you, then don't go back.
That's it.
Don't be like the children of Israel wanting to go back into bondage. Don't be. Amen. Like certain people want to tell you about longing for the good old days. God's future is better than anything in your past.
Amen.
Amen.
God has better things in your future. So you keep going there. You keep going with God and don't go back. Don't be entangled again in that yoke of bondage that Satan has for you.
Amen.
But here's this conclusion of the whole matter. Amen. Jesus came to make us free. And if you and I have been made free, then we shouldn't accept any form of bondage in our life. We shouldn't be complacent with it. We shouldn't rationalize it. Listen, if there's something that's holding you back from being all that God called you to be, then that's the thing that you need to be praying about right now. Because Jesus wants to deliver you from that thing now. Not when the kids grow up. Not when you finish school. Not when you, you know, go to seminary. Not when the economy improves. Not when you get your new house. Now, amen.
Amen.
He wants to do it now.
Amen.
But we just got to get in line and in agreement with that.
Amen.
But we also have to get in line and agreement with other people, too. If we know there's other people in our midst who've been struggling with this, that, or the other thing, and we can identify as some form of bondage that's from Satan, just like this woman who was bowed over for 18 years. Jesus said, lo, whom Satan has bound these 18 years. Identify the right enemy. Stop looking at that person and calling him lazy. Maybe it's the spirit of laziness that's on him, but that's from the devil. But we look at the person and call the person the thing. He's lazy. He's no good. He's a liar. He's this. But it's all spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
We know the scripture. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But oh my goodness, we sure are wrestling people, aren't we? We know the scripture. But all our wrestling matches are against people. But Jesus looked at this woman and then said to this woman, woman, straighten up! He looked at that woman and said, that's the work of the devil. Shouldn't we do the same thing?
Yeah.
Amen? We see people struggling. We see people. We see poverty, lack, sickness, disease, fear, guilt, shame. All those things and more are from the devil.
Amen.
Satan having people in bondage. And if we're going to be upset at historical depictions of bondage, then we need to even be more upset of present day depictions that are in 3D in our face every day.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And let's not put it off. If somebody needs a word, somebody needs a prayer, somebody needs an encouragement, don't put off your prayer, don't put off your encouragement, don't put off your phone call. If not now, when? You're being, right? Because we do, we're being the Pharisee. We want to pick a better day.
Oh, glory to God. I got to close my book. I might keep preaching because the book just keeps speaking. You know the book speaks. Yeah. I ain't got no notes on this, but the book speaks. But do you know we want to pick a better day? But watch this. God speaks in terms of today, and devil speaks in terms of tomorrow. Because God says, today, if you hear his voice,
amen.
Harden not your heart. Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, when you want me to get these frogs out of here? And he said, tomorrow. The devil speaks in terms of tomorrow. God speaks in terms of today. Glory to God. So when you say you're going to call your friend tomorrow, be careful. Because if God put that thing on your heart right now, he may well want it to be done
today.
And if not now, when? And how many of you know, can we testify and just tell the truth that we get ready to get out of here? That there have been so many times that you wanted to do something, and you said, I'm going to do it later, I'm going to do it tomorrow, and then something get in the way, and you forgot all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We got to learn to start doing stuff now, amen?
Amen.
And here's the thing. God wants you to be who he created you to be right now. Amen. It may not be the whole thing. You may not going to be, you know what I'm saying? God's going to still be working on you. He's going to complete the work until the day of Christ. And so, but the person you're supposed to be that person now. In other words, listen, 10 years from now, you should be on to even greater things. But the thing you're supposed to be or should be doing now, don't be content if you're not.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. There's some things that God wants to do now. There's some things he wants to free you from now. There's some things he wants to straighten up in your life right now.
Amen.
Amen. And if you're putting it off, if other people around you are going to put it off, just hear God saying, well, if it's not going to happen now, then when? And if you're going to start about tomorrow, remember, there's somebody else that talked in terms of tomorrow, and I don't think you want to be associated with him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Let's rest on our feet. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are free right now. Glory to God. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Glory to God. We are free. Hallelujah. 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 Sin shall have no more dominion over us, for we are not under the law, but under grace. Father, we thank you that we are under your grace.
Yes.
Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, that we are free right now in Christ Jesus. We are thankful, O God, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and destroy them he did. He made an open show of the devil.
Yes.
He led captivity captive. And Father, we thank you, God, that we are free. You said in your word, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty, O God. Father, we're asking for your help for us to walk in the liberty with which you have given us. Father God, we're praying right now that you will identify in us any and all things, God, that are holding us back from doing what you have called us to do. Any snare, any trap, any shackle of bondage that Satan has on us, on our lives. Father, we ask you to identify for us in the name of Jesus, that we, God, can stand up in faith, call upon your name to be made free from this form of bondage. And God, we're praying, God, that you will open our eyes and give us a heart of compassion like the Lord Jesus. He saw this woman's condition, and he saw the author of it, and it was Satan. And he came against it so the woman could be free right now.
Yes.
Lord, may we do the same with things that are going on in our lives, our loved ones, our friends, our families, total strangers, oh God. Even if we read accounts in the paper or on the internet, oh God, of people who are suffering, and we know in our spirit that this is the work of the enemy.
Yes.
Father, let us be quick to move like Jesus immediately and to pray in faith that the person be made free and loosed from the bondage of Satan in the name of Jesus. If not now, when? God, hallelujah. Let us reject all who are trying to defer deliverance in the earth. Let us put off all those, oh God, who are calling us to do it at a proper time, in a proper place, oh God. If you are looking to move now, you're looking for right now people, oh God, to rise up. And Father, we desire to be among them. Father, I thank you right now, God, that even as we stand here, your Spirit is speaking unto us, beginning to lead us and to guide us, to reveal unto us, oh God, those things within ourselves that are holding us back from being what you created us to be. Father, we thank you, God, that chains shall be broken. Glory to God. Thank you right now that bands shall be loosed and that we shall be made free and set free in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it now. Lord, we look to you, O God, to continue to speak unto our hearts and minds, O God. Share with us your wisdom. Show us your grace and your mercy in the coming days and weeks, that we may walk out this word in our lives, O God, and truly be free. And let us, O God, have a determination within our spirit to settle for absolutely nothing less than total freedom.
Thank you.
In Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it and we give you praise. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.